Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, another season preview for one of the teams in baseball to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season. We're going to head to the AL West tonight to get you ready with the Seattle Mariners. And it's a fun team, young team, keeps building up team. You know, they're always ready to make trades and sign people and do all kinds of cool stuff. And there's some fantasy relevance this year on the Seattle Mariners that's going to really get us going. In order to break all of that down, got a friend of the show to come help us out here. You can find his work for, he does football and baseball, tons and tons of work. 33rd Team Football, RotoViz for baseball. You got RotoWire, you got Baseball HQ, he's even in the forecaster this year. Like, talk about big time, folks. You can find him on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. Corbin Young, how we doing, my friend?
What's up, Bubba? Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's trying to get back into it. Once football is kind of over, it's like you got to slowly move my brain over to a different sport.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because your brain is a big brain. Like, I watched the way you, like, you tweet things, you write things, like you get the analytics part of it, but you can go deep onto things. Like, you're very, very sharp on this kind of stuff. So I enjoy your content and taking it, and even just like with your tweets to kind of get my mind thinking, let alone your articles that are deep. But like one of your recent tweets, like Wednesday or Tuesday or something, when you say like a list of pitchers you started looking at, and like you mentioned, like Mitch Keller, I think is one of your tweets and other things. So it's like, yep, you're getting back into it. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, maybe I'm probably doubling down on Mitch Keller, but you know,
hey, we already
just like early list, you know,
we already saw a video, you know, he's working on pitches. You got to watch out. Like, it's already coming out. So it's that time of the year where, you know, not a bad guy to double down on because the talent's there. It's just, man, can you put it together? Just put it together. That's all we're asking for. We'll see how that goes. You got anything coming up at RotoWire or Baseball HQ you want to promote, or are you just kind of getting ready to get things going?
Yeah, for Baseball HQ, some of the Facts and Fluke stuff starting up here. I think I might have one coming out next week or something. Usually do a few American League players. So, yeah, that'll probably be coming out next week. And then after that, probably in February, I think it's almost every week we're starting to ramp up here. So, yeah, mostly that right now, trying to reassess, doing some coaching, you know, for my daughter and other things. So trying to reassess the life schedule before I commit to too many things.
What, you mean life gets involved? What are you saying, man? This is crazy. No, like, because you are a hardworking man. So I always wonder, like, people ask how I can do so many of the things. And I'm like, Corbin's doing a lot of stuff too. Like, he's going behind the scenes a lot more than you think. Because, you know, podcasting is one thing, writing an article, it takes a lot of time to get that research. So kudos to you, my friend. Looking forward to checking out those Facts and Flukes. Let's get into the Seattle Mariners, and we'll kick it off with the probably the funnest piece of the puzzle here in J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez, who burst onto the scene last year, just took fantasy world by storm, but the baseball world by storm, was absolutely amazing for the Seattle Mariners. Slowed down a bit in the second half, but still overall really, really strong season for J-Rod. 28 homers, 25 steals, hit .284. What do you got on him going into 2023?
Yeah, definitely exceeded my expectations. You know, I don't know if it was just Jared Kelenic just kind of not getting, you know, not doing so well right off the bat. That kind of just, you know, tempered my expectations for especially a young, you know, rookie coming up and doing that. Yeah, I mean, definitely an elite player, right? Especially for fantasy, right? It's kind of one of the rare players that goes like 25-25 or possibly pushing 30-30, you know, that kind of upside. You know, hit to the top of the lineup, it's lead off for them. You know, if you want to pull Coles is mostly just kind of the ground ball rate. Maybe homer fly ball is too high. Definitely makes a loud contact, right? But play discipline concerns have kind of, I've heard people kind of mention, you know, with him, but I think there's a chance he's only like 21 or something, and definitely, you know, some improvement there. I think he definitely deserves to be in that top five, you know, where he's at, you know, with the kind of, I know they got more track record than him, of course, but like Trey Turner, Ronald Acuna, Jose Ramirez, and I think he's definitely worth that. You know, I guess you could go with safer options, but I think he's worth, you know, where the cost is right now.
Yeah, if you look at ADP on Draft Champions since Christmas Day, there's been 14 drafts. He's got an ADP of 3.14. He's gone as high as one, as low as five. So it's funny actually looking at it. There's four different players that have been drafted one: Turner, Acuna, J-Ram, and Julio. So it just kind of depends on the draft you're in to see where he goes. So yeah, you're right. It's he's a beast. He's awesome. Everyone, there's a group of people that say maybe there's like a potential, you know, a little bit of, you know, sophomore slump coming up, but I just don't see it with him personally. But I think he just get better. Like I said, he's young. Like, he's just going to get better, you would think. So, yeah, pretty solid floor with maybe a ceiling we haven't seen yet, like a 30-30 type ceiling, like you're saying. So, lots of fun there with J-Rod. I made the joke earlier because everyone makes the joke that it's the dealing DePotos up there in Seattle, and they went and got Teoscar Hernandez this offseason. And we know Teoscar with the Jays was a very, very good middle-of-the-order outfield bat for the Jays. You know, it wasn't his best of seasons. He was a little banged up last year, but still finished very, very strong. And now he comes over to hit in the middle of the Seattle lineup. And, you know, it's a guy that could get you 20-plus home runs. You've seen 30 before, steals a few bags. He could be a big-time run producer in that lineup. So what are you kind of thinking or expecting out of him in Seattle now?
Yeah. I did digest the trade, but it was probably, I was a little attached to Eric Swanson, but it was probably just, I don't know why I like weird pictures like that. But after thinking about it from like a real life and fantasy standpoint, like we needed a bat like this, right? Like the Mariners needed a bat like this. You know, offense was definitely an issue. So adding a guy like that while you know, swap out someone like Mitch Haniger, you know, not the same player, but they can kind of, you know, fill similar holes in terms of offensive category production, batting average, some power. I mean, Teoscar's clearly got more power than Mitch Haniger. You know, some could argue that might be a little Babbitt driven, you know, but he traded some of the ground balls for line drives. Definitely a good athlete, you know, like steals some bases, like you said. You know, play discipline might be a concern, but he's definitely a target of mine. I mean, I don't know why I'm going to these ceiling comparisons, but I think, you know, like a Aaron Judge season is, I think, within the cards with someone like him, right? Like, I mean, not 62 home runs, but something where we see something where he stays healthy, compiles all the plate appearances, you know, massive, you know, home run boost or something. I think he's got that within the range of outcomes, but even if it's just something similar to, you know, projection show, like, I mean, that's respectable. I think there's more juice in the batting average than, you know, some of the projections I might be giving him, you know, projecting for him though.
Yeah. He's such a pure hitter that I can see the batting average taking a jump as well. He has the ball so hard. Like, I don't know if he's a shift guy. I haven't even really tried to figure all that stuff out, but, he's just such a good hitter that I could see the average coming back up, keep the pop in there, be quite productive. ADP of 76. He's not costing you a lot. That's a good spot to get maybe even your second outfielder, if not your first outfielder, and get some run out of him. So I definitely like the Teoscar move. I've always been a team Teoscar fan. So I like that move for him heading to Seattle. Ty France. This is a fun one because Ty France, you know, with San Diego and in the minors, is a big time power bat. And he kind of finally got playing time. It was kind of, you know, it was good, but not great. Last year we saw it even more, 20 home runs. He kind of took another step up. But one thing he's done is hit for average everywhere he goes, hits the ball really hard. I like his plate discipline. I don't think that gets talked about enough for a guy like Ty France. So what do you see with him? He's a guy that they have projected to hit potentially second in that lineup right now. And that could become a big run producing situation for a guy with his contact skills.
Yeah, he's definitely a bit of a compiler, right? You know, he's got a ton of plate appearances past couple of years. I think he was like maybe eighth among first baseman past 2 years in terms of plate appearances. Yeah, he's just a good hitter. You know, I you know, probably it's not really data driven, but there are a lot of times where I watch him games and he just, you know, he just you get some clutch hits when it matters, you know, from a real life standpoint. You know, great play discipline, like you're saying, just a really good hitter. You know, I don't think the power ceiling is quite there. I think 8-20 is probably a safe range, but yeah, if you're gonna hit at the top of the Mariners, you know, improved lineup, that's definitely gonna, you know, you could easily do like 100, 150, 160 runs plus RBI or something in there. So yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Eugenio Suarez. Now, this is a guy that's like, okay, everyone's, oh, he does for a bad average, blah, blah, blah. He hit for a really bad average like once or twice. Otherwise, he's usually actually hit pretty well. And last year kind of got a little bit of a bounce back after two rough seasons. One thing you know you're going to get from him, Corbin, is a lot of power. That's what you're going to get, a lot of power. So how are you approaching Eugenio Suarez in your 2023 season? Like, are you just going to build batting average elsewhere and take the power, or are you just kind of avoiding him because there's concerns with Suarez?
Yeah, he's the guy that I definitely like in last year. You know, I put this in our notes, but he was just a guy that, you know, I kind of be a little more patient with someone coming off shoulder surgery. You know, so he was about 2 years removed. You know, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that, you know, coming off a shoulder surgery can definitely impact some hitting mechanics and some power. You know, I think he definitely stood out because before the shoulder surgery, he's one of those guys that had like one of the tightest launch angles. I think Alex Chamberlain had this like old article in Fangraphs maybe in 2019 or something, just showed some of the hitters with like the tightest launch angles, and he was on there, you know, with like some really good hitters. So it's kind of one of those things where, and then I looked at that after, you know, before last year, and it was just so wide, like it was just so drastic. So not that those two are connected, but that was kind of my theory there. Yeah, I think, you know, we're not going to get the 270, 280 kind of prime batting average seasons anymore, I think, at this point. But definitely kind of that, yeah, like you got to bake in that that batting average risk there, because he's turning into that prototypical power hitter, pull heavy, high fly ball, you know, nearly at exit velocities. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there could be some, you know, the hard part is he just hits too many fly balls at this point. You know, I don't think the batting average is ever coming back.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Is, you know, he's adjusted his, I guess, skill set from what he once had. Like you said, if he's a heavy fly ball guy, especially in Seattle, it's not going to bode well all the time there. So that could come to fruition. But he that power, it's hard to find at his point in the draft. So if you can adjust batting average elsewhere, it could be pretty big. Another player that the Seattle Mariners traded for this year is Colton Wong, a guy I've always been a fan of, always thought the skills were good there, especially at his draft price. It's always just doesn't get the respect, I think, come draft day, at least me personally. He's got like 15-15 upside to me year in and year out. What are your thoughts on him going to Seattle? Looks like there's rumors of him potentially platooning, which I don't see him if at worst, it's the strong side. But how do you see Colton Wong playing out in Seattle this year?
Yeah, first I was kind of like, when I first saw the trade, I was like, okay, you know, and it's just trying to think through, but I think it filled a need, right? They don't have Adam Frazier anymore. They kind of need a second baseman, you know, Abraham Toro, bench utility guy. Like there's just no, you know, he missed a ton of time with a calf injury about a month or so. I kind of looked at some of the splits. I mean, he doesn't really hit the ball hard, but I would guess that maybe the calf injury is definitely bothering him. I used to see, this is where the data comes in, right? It's like I used to think of him as a solid defender, and he was like god awful last year on defense. I mean, hopefully it's just something that he can work
through. Maybe it was the calf, hopefully.
Yeah, not be that terrible. You know, even if he's just, you know, not that great anymore, I don't know if the Mariners can really afford to be playing anyone else there. Even if it's a strong side platoon, and like you're saying, it's kind of that 15-15 profile or 12-12. It's nothing exciting, but you know, it's something, you know, it's like, especially at second base, like it's going to be something where, you know, you're going to take, you'll plug him in if you need to, but I wouldn't be like relying on him all year. You definitely want to see that. I mean, he's probably gonna get platoon with Dylan Moore or Sam Haggerty or something. The bench for the Mariners looks a little concerning. I like the starting lineup, but the depth after that looks a little concerning.
Yeah, it's like I heard the Dylan Moore thing too, and I'm like, yeah, I get it if it's a lefty on the mound, because Wong isn't the best for his lefties, but it's like Dylan Moore, like I think we've kind of seen who Dylan Moore is, but maybe that's what he's best used for, is face lefties and call it a day. The Wong thing, that defense, I haven't looked at that because I remember writing him up for an article somewhere. when he went to Milwaukee from St. Louis, and he was like one of the best defenders in all of baseball at second base. So I wonder what happened, if it was injuries, just getting older, or what it was with him. Because, yeah, I'm with you. He used to be one of the best defensive second basemen in all the baseball. So to hear you say his metrics just went to garbage, basically, that's pretty crazy, thinking he fell off that far, especially with the pitching rotation that we'll get into that the Mariners have. You think they'd want to shore up that second base, up the middle defense. So interesting point there. And when I'm saying draft him in leagues, what I like to draft him is like my middle infield, late round. Like, I'm not relying on him for everything, like you're saying. So good point there. Let's go to the catcher's position here. Cal Raleigh, big season. Didn't hit for average, almost Mike Zunino-esque with what he did. 211 at that average, 27 home runs, though. We saw him hit for some power in the minors from time to time. Batting average has really never been his friend, though. So how, like, people are drafting him, you know, I'm not saying high, but pretty high for a catcher. How do you foresee Cal Raleigh in 2023? Because I'm kind of nervous with that batting average and swing and miss he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got the best nickname, right? Big Dumper. I mean, I can't get that out of my head every time I think of that guy. But, I put a note in here. Every time I look into some players like this, I like to look at some of the Rotowire player pages, just see what the news said. You know, I remember he hurt his thumb while catching or something. I don't know if that's going to impact him, you know, heading into next year. That could obviously impact some of the defense, some of the power. But he does really dominate on one side of the plate as a lefty. You know, he pulls a ton of fly balls on that side, hit 24, 27 his home runs over on the left side of the plate. But obviously way more plate appearances as a lefty. Exit velocities are near elite, you know, might not be able to sustain some of the home run to fly ball rates. His fly ball rate is like way too high. I think that needs to level out a little. You know, we can't really be hitting the fly balls over 55% of the time. that seems like a little excessive there. So hopefully some regression there. I heard the Mike Zunino comps too with, you know, batting average, drain and stuff. But, I was scanning through the forecast there, and they have a pretty optimistic, you know, XBA for him, about 243.
That's not bad.
So some projected improvement. Even if it's, you know, 240, 235, I think that's probably, you know, okay. I know there's a big discussion about catchers. Like, do you get them early? Do you wait? I'm not a huge fan of two catcher league, so I usually just wait because I can't like stomach like the part-time catchers. But then I think there's some value in like trying to get a guy like Cal Raleigh that's probably going to play almost every day, or, you know, 80-85% of the plate appearances for catcher, and, you know, has elite power. We'll have to see. Obviously he's going to hit a home run. So it's just kind of like, you're going to have to stomach some of that batting average, but maybe the plate appearances outweighs kind of the, you know, terrible batting average. Cause after like the first 7 or 8, catcher kind of falls off. So
yeah, falls off quickly. So yeah, if he plays 130 or so games and maybe he does get to that 240 ish area that the forecaster has, that could be pretty solid, all things considered, when it's all said and done. Another acquisition for the Mariners this year. This was a signing though, not a trade. AJ Pollock. And this is one that I've had some people say, oh, you're crazy. And then other people go, oh, you got a point here. It's like, I look at him and I know health's an issue, but playing 138 games last year, which is the most he's played in since 2015. So I'll take that as a yes, but still has a little bit of pop, can hit for a little bit of an average. Like, he's not a world beater, but you're not paying a massive draft day price for him either. How do you see him playing out in Seattle? Cause I guess the biggest concern would be him potentially like platooning or something. But like you mentioned, there's not a lot of depth on that bench right now. So as long as he's healthy, I think he gets the shot, but you probably have a better ear on this than I do.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post, so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was surprised too. He only hit the IL one time with a hamstring injury. Didn't have another injury for the entire 2022
wow.
season.
Wow.
I feel like that probably is rare for AJ Pollock. second most plate appearances, you know, of his career last year. Yep. You know, he's definitely aging, you know, turning about 35 years. So, you know, high ground ball rate, doesn't hit a ton of, you know, home runs. So, but plate discipline's okay. You know, he's definitely declining some power skills, probably more of a hitter streamer in your deeper leagues. You know, maybe, I don't know what his ADP is, but maybe like fifth outfitter, you know, bench back kind of guy that you're kind of streaming in and out of there. He feels like a kind of guy that you like pick up on the waiver on 15 team leagues and you just like ride a few, you know, good matchups here and there, ride a streak here, and then you just kind of, you know, churn it if it's not there. Yeah, he is slotted in at DH for the Mariners. And they definitely need kind of a, you know, like a extra right-handed bat there, but it might help his health and playing time at DH. So, but yeah, I think he kind of fits in. He's not a super sexy name. He's not, you know, someone that's going to win you any leagues, but he might be kind of sneaky, like decent, maybe like a, maybe not the same, but like a cheaper, maybe not, maybe he's not cheaper, maybe like a Andrew McCutchen like kind of guy, you know, where it's just like a pretty decent hitter, give you a little bit of home runs, maybe not as many steals or anything. But
it's funny you mentioned McCutchen, because Pollock's going about 438 right now, Kutch is going 430, so they're going right next to each other. So yeah, it's a good comp, a really good comp. McCutchen, they both have the starting job for now, but we'll see where it goes. Seattle's obviously a better team than Pittsburgh, so interesting comp, that's for sure. Definitely something to keep in mind. The last bat that I have highlighted, we'll talk about a few more here in a second, is Jared Kelenic. And this one is just like, it's frustrating. I know it's going to be more frustrating being a Mariners fan, but it's like you can see the talent at times, and then it just kind of disappears. He looks lost. And like Ryan Bloomfield had his first speculator of the year come out on Wednesday. We're recording this Wednesday night. It came out, and there's a little spot in there about Kelenic. So what are you thinking about him coming in 2023? Because he's not costing what he used to, so he's kind of enticing to me.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have to check out Ryan's article there. Yeah, I did his blurb in the Forecaster, so I'll just kind of summarize a little bit, you know, what I put in there. You know, obviously, you know, he was a top prospect, fell real, real hard again, you know, dreadful batting average, had some power and speed. Power metrics took a step forward, you know, contact rate improved a little bit in the second half. Problem is the samples are so small, right? Like he comes up for a little bit, he struggles, they send him down. You know, comes in for a little bit, goes back down, you know, past couple years. You know, there are a couple of home runs that stick in my mind where he's like pulled them right down the line and hit the foul pole. And I'm just like, that's yeah. Nice, but yeah. Not, it's like you're sneaking one in there that you probably shouldn't be sneaking in there. You know, so it's hard to really find some, you know, actionable takeaways. The only thing I kind of noted in the notes here is that hopefully the contact rate improves a little bit more, maybe fewer fly balls, right? Like maybe, you know, elevating it a bit too much for him there. I think there's a chance where, you know, the upside could be like 15-15 with a kind of brutal batting average, maybe like 210 or so, 220. I mean, obviously that'd be a big step forward coming from where he was at already. But yeah, if he can, you know, make some slight improvements, even if the batting average is poor, he definitely has the skills to, you know, put up some of the power speed to kind of buoy that fantasy value, right? A lot of times there's players at the end of the year, like you look at their line, you're like, whoa, how did this guy finish the season, you know, well, with this much earned auction value or whatever. And it's usually because they got some speed or they chipped in, you know, some home run and some speed, and they weren't, you know, they might've been terrible otherwise, but.
Yeah, no, he's a tough one. So I'm inclined to give him a shot. Like you said, he's still young. So it's like there's time to establish. And one thing you said that I really take in is it's not even just the all the metrics and everything. It's it's been such small samples. Like, how can a young player get established in such small samples? That's the frustrating part. And the Mariners are contending, so they can't afford to let him, you know, slump it up. But it's like they almost need to start the season and give him a good run and see what he can do and go from there. So we'll see what happens there. Any other hitters worth mentioning? You see, you have a few down here in the notes that you'd like to bring up real quick.
Yeah, like I mentioned, the depth is just not great, right? So, like, the most, you know, relevant guys are like Dylan Moore, Sam Haggerty. You know, we've seen them pop up 15 team, five all-fielder leagues, you know, here and there. They both kind of have some power and speed. Dylan Moore is more of the sexy name because he has like the exit velocity stuff. Sam Haggerty's more a little bit more of a batting average guy, but mostly just utility guys. Yeah, like I said, the depth is definitely lacking as I kind of digest the depth chart a little bit. Even the some of the prospect like hitters, I don't, you know, don't really strike me as like guys that are gonna make a big impact. So there might be more moves, but as of right now, yeah, not just kind of more nothing too exciting to draft.
Oh, that let DePoto figure it out. He'll make some moves if needed. Let's go to the pitching staff here for Seattle. And this is where it gets fun, too, because Luis Castillo, who I think most fantasy players / baseball players have always liked Castillo and always said, just get him out of Cincinnati. Well, what better place to go to than Seattle? And he flourished in Seattle, was outstanding. And he basically has earned the ace moniker almost even in fantasy circles. How do you foresee him having a full 2023 season in Seattle this year?
Yeah, he's another one that I wrote up his forecaster box, and I definitely was like impressed, and I was like, okay, I think there's something, you know, something here, right? He had a shoulder injury to begin last year. I think we could have seen that career year if he hadn't had the shoulder injury. Obviously, we didn't know the Seattle trade was happening, but if we kind of look at like if he were to pitch more innings, I think we would have seen a career type year. Swap changeups for more four seamers, you know, had better K minus BB gains, fewer ground balls with four seamer, but the XERA, XWHIP are all kind of aligned with you know, final line there, so with the actual ERA and WHIP. You know, best swing and strike rate on the four seamer, up over 4 percentage points. I do like that he, you know, not so analytical here, but I do like that he kind of used a pitch that isn't so predictable, right? We're so used to the changeup in the sinker and it kind of just like runs the same way. You know, so I do like a pitch that kind of changes, you know, maybe the view for the hitter and stuff like that. You know, I think Seattle's done a really nice job on the pitching end. Just kind of, I've liked what they've done with some of the pitching development, especially with the young guys and any of the guys that come over. So I'm definitely kind of trusting them as one of the better kind of pitching development organizations, but you know, maybe they don't have the same value or name recognition as guys like the Dodgers or the Marlins or whatever, you know, all these other teams that we think of, but I think they have something good going on. So yeah, I think you know, there's potential career best season. You know, I don't want to say this too loud, but I think he's a steal where he's going right now. I think I tweeted something today and Will Garofalo was like, okay, delete this tweet right now. So, but you know, I think there's definitely, you know, if I'm waiting a little bit, I'm on SP, or if I can get, you know, Luis Castillo, my SP2, I'm all over that. I think there's a career best season incoming here of like 200 inning picks, 200 plus strikeouts. So
that'd be outstanding. Yeah. He has ADP of 63 right now. He's probably like the, you know, eighth or ninth starting pitcher off the board, if not even farther back than that right now. So yeah, it's a really great spot to get some value there with Luis Castillo. So I'm with you there. I can't wait to see how his ADP changes, because I think more and more people are going to have to catch on to just how good he is. I think it's coming, but maybe not. It's pitching's falling so far in drafts, so maybe it stays that way. And I think you're onto something about the Seattle Mariners building a great pitching philosophy or whatever you want to call it there. There's a couple young guys we'll talk about shortly. It makes a lot of sense for what they have going on there. But let's talk about Robbie Ray, who came over from Toronto last year and, you know, come off the Cy Young season. I don't think many people thought he could be that good, but he was still very, very good. Very good. The strikeouts are there. He's an innings eater like you'd hope for. Ratios are still fine. You know, they're not the like high twos. They're more like mid to high set threes, but still very solid stuff. So what are your thoughts on Robbie Ray, who's kind of done it back-to-back seasons now, where when he was at Arizona, it was always walks, 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 and he's kind of showing us that he's become a different pitcher now.
Yeah. Like you said, definitely a workhorse, right? Like definitely, you know, even better than earlier in his prime years or better years in Arizona, right? Yeah, I think in 2021, it was just pounding the zone, you know, and just kind of pounding with the stuff and just like letting hitters hit it. But yeah, definitely it's, you know, just a couple interesting notes, you know, Robbie Ray lowered the four seamer usage, down almost 20 percentage points from 2021. It kind of increased the slider and the sinker. The sinker was probably most notable, kind of went up quite a bit. Wasn't great, you know, from a result standpoint, 530 slug, 406 wOBA, you know, but could be another thing where it's just, he just kind of locating it, putting it in a different spot. And, you know, it's kind of giving it a different look for some hitters, serving its purpose, inducing ground balls. But yeah, it was kind of interesting because he hadn't really used a sinker that much in a really long time, since like 2015. You know, not that that's going to translate into strikeouts, but, you know, maybe it helps lower some home run rates, although home runs are always a problem with Robbie Ray, but so.
Yeah, always a problem, but like then again, that ballpark, don't walk as many guys. They, you know, instead of 2 and 3 run homers, get the solo homers. We can live with that. We can live with that from Robbie Ray. So I was kind of out on him last year because his ADP went so high after the Cy Young season. I'm kind of happy where he is now. Like, I can live with Robbie Ray, especially as my SP2 or SP3. If you want to get real aggressive on pitching, he's not a bad option there for sure. Now we get to the young guns, and we'll start with Logan Gilbert, who 2 years ago kind of got their late season ups and downs. We saw like some of the stuff that was great. Some of the, hey, it's first time around the bigs. Last year, phenomenal. Low 3 ERA, pitched 185 innings, which was outstanding. I think personally he can take another step potentially. Like, this guy is really good. You'd have better ideas of this than I do. So what do you think of Gilbert in 2023?
Yeah, a couple of quick notes on Castillo and Ray that I forgot. You know, usually you think of Ray and Castillo, like their whip sucks, you know, but like actually it's been a bit better the last couple of years. You know, they've kind of lowered their walk rates past couple of years, limiting the hits. So you know, don't think of Luis Castillo and Robbie Ray as like guys that just like destroy your whip anymore. They could be like, you know, league average or okay, right? So yeah, Logan Gilbert, you know, the Mariners had this philosophy. I remember Jerry DePoto mentioned this early on, and I don't know why it just stuck in my brain, but I remember at one press conference you talked about just like controlling the strike zone, you know, as kind of a philosophy for this team. And that seems to be generally, you know, kind of the type of guys that they try to bring in or draft or have. Logan Gilbert, George Kirby fit that mold. Ty France kind of fits that mold. You know, guys are they're limiting the walks or they have good plate discipline and stuff like that. Yeah, Gilbert's a big dude, right? 6'6". He doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he really has good command. You know, overall swing and strike rate dropped a little bit, but like you're saying, took a pretty big workload jump from 2021 to 2022. You know, and slider and changeup, you know, didn't perform as well as the rookie year, so that could raise some red flags. Yeah, I think what you're saying, there's a couple scenarios that come to mind, right? Like, there's a scenario where Gilbert's stuff improves, and you know, especially on the non-fastballs because the four-seamer is so good. You know, maybe takes a leap up, right? Maybe there's another level in terms of strikeout rate. You know, I think there's another scenario where he's just kind of that guy that maybe the stuff's not overpowering, but the command's so good. I hate to use like a Kyle Hendricks, but you know, some just a guy that can kind of outperform some of the expected metrics, you know, and kind of just kind of continue to do that. But yeah, the trouble is he goes in this weird range of pitchers, or not weird, but interesting, right? Like, where it's like there's, you know, you could be buying the bounce back, or you could be buying the next guy we're going to talk about, you know, or you're going to pay it for someone that you feel a little bit better at. I definitely do like him. I definitely kind of liked him coming to the year. I do like that they're not relying on him as like their ace, primary ace, right? Like they've added Luis Castillo and Robbie Ray, of course, obviously the past couple of years, but I think if he was to be like the real life staff ace, that might be a problem, you know, in the long run, cause he's just not that. You know, if you think about like a 3-game series or something in the playoff, he's just not a guy that you're going to be like, all right, this guy's gonna, you know, he's not Justin Verlander or somebody that you're going to put out there that's just going to, you know, dominate the game. But his command is definitely really good. So I like the, you know, again, he just limits the ratios. You know, he might get by outperforming some of the metrics there. But, you know, probably expect some regression in the ratios to be the smart thing to do. So I could see some people fading it for the next guy that we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned where he's getting ADP right now, like right in front of him. Nestor Cortez, Luis Severino, Hunter Green, right after him, Kyle Wright, Blake Snell, Nick Lodello, all within like five or six picks of him. They're all in that little range, like you said, next breakouts or bounce backs or interesting realm of pitching options there. But you mentioned the next guy. This is what's fun about Seattle is, like, forever it seemed like they had really good pitching and the offense is kind of, you know, not there, or really good offense, and you had Felix Hernandez. It's like, what are we going to do? Got both now, because now I got, you're four deep in this rotation. It goes with George Kirby, who really, like, there was a bunch of high hopes for him obviously coming in, but 130 really good innings, it felt like, or overall really good season in the end. And how do you foresee him in 2023 maybe taking the next step as well?
Yeah, George Kirby and Logan Gilbert, similar model, right? Control the strike zone, you know, limit the walks, don't give a ton of home runs, you know, really good four-seamer fastball. Just he, you know, Kirby, we know the story with Kirby, just had a ton, like a ridiculously low walk rate throughout his rookie and college, you know, seasons that kind of stood out. You know, like Gilbert, Kirby's four seamer is his best pitch. You know, there are times I think early in one of his debut starts where I tried to watch, you know, a little bit more of his starts, and he was just painting, you know, just like throwing the four seamer wherever you wanted. Felt like maybe a little too reliant on the fastball at times, but you know, if he's confident in that pitch and it's kind of one of his best pitches, I can see that. So I think like Kirby or like Gilbert, I think if Kirby can kind of develop a little bit of some of the secondaries, and I think there's, you know, maybe if the results don't show up, I think he's probably going to build upon adding, you know, more effective breaking pitch or something along those lines. I think we could definitely see a leap up, you know, if we're expecting a similar workload jump to something like Gilbert from 2021 to 2022, that might be a little too much, you know, for someone like Kirby. I think more of like the 140, 150 range, like he's kind of projected, is probably more reasonable. So with that, you're probably, you know, with, if you're only getting like 150, you know, innings pitch, if I'm shooting on the high end and you're getting pretty good ratios, you know, you're looking at Drew Rasmussen type of guy, you know, kind of guy, like, you know, that's the kind of pitcher you're looking for, I think. So he's probably going to have to be pretty efficient. You know, now if you're projecting more volume, that's where, you know, I think he's just going to be kind of like a per inning, you know, basis. He's going to be like quality, right? So I think that's kind of what we're looking at with this kind of guy. You know, definitely a command over stuff pitcher, but I think the Mariners could kind of develop his stuff a little more, and or maybe, yeah, maybe he might be like Gilbert, like I said, where outperform some of the expected metrics and pitches better than, you know, what some of the data might indicate. So
yeah, it's interesting looking at you know, Castillo's in a world of his own come ADP, but Robbie Ray's at 98, Gilbert's at 113, and Kirby's at 93. So Kirby's going ahead of Robbie Ray and like 20 picks ahead of Logan Gilbert. So people are on the Kirby train, and it's probably why I don't have many shares of Kirby yet, and I have more shares of Gilbert and Ray at this point in time. But interesting set of starting pitchers there in Seattle. Let's go to the bullpen now. You know, it's a very, very good bullpen. As we know, Paul Sewald has been outstanding. When he's either in the high leverage or the closing duty, he's done a little bit of both. He was the primary closer when all things were said and done last year. But you have like Andres Munoz, you have Diego Castillo. Brash might be better in the bullpen. How are you assessing this bullpen situation with Seattle, who at times it was just kind of like all about leverage and not really caring about a designated closer? And then there's other parts of the year where I feel like it was Paul's job, and that's about it.
Yeah, Paul Sewald definitely wasn't as dominant last year. You know, K-minus BB was at 30, over 30% in 2021. Still respectable, 22.7% in 2022. Home runs are a problem with Sewald. You know, you can't come in and average, you know, 1.4 home run per nine, you know, as a closer, right? You're kind of trying to limit the walks, limit the home runs there. Yeah, like you said, the Mariners are definitely willing to share those save opportunities with other bullpen arms. I think Andres Munoz is probably the most skilled reliever in that bullpen, you know, just in terms of stuff and, you know, just closer type, you know, arsenal as well, or just like a, you know, nasty fastball touches or reaches over 100 miles per hour on a regular basis, you know, filthy, filthy slider too. Obviously the market's kind of picked up on that. I think Munoz has the edge in terms of ADP for the Mariners closer role or shared closer role. So I probably lean Munoz just kind of based on some skills there. Part of it lingers in my mind that maybe he's like a Devin Williams, where maybe he's just a skilled reliever that, like, maybe, you know, maybe he might not lock down the closer role, but, you know, could still have some value, you know. But I think by the end of season, Munoz could definitely take over that. Diego Castillo, I used to be into him. He's kind of up and down. He's had some of his issues. You know, Matt Fessler is a fun name, but probably just more of a, you know, sixth, seventh inning kind of bullpen guy. Matt Brash is another guy. Yeah, you know, we remember those, whatever, the first couple starts were just straight filth. But, you know, when the command's poor and you walk too many batters, then we become a problem. But, the only note, interesting note on Brash, I think, that's kind of notable is obviously the K-BB drastically improved from 2.1% as a starter to over 21% as a reliever. But yeah, and as a reliever, he relied more on the slider. He kind of lowered the four seamer. The slider is pretty filthy, so that just got, you know, something notable that they kind of made a change for him when he went to the bullpen. I think I saw, might have been like a Bold Predictions article in The Athletic or something, and one of the B writers, I think he mentioned something about like maybe Brash could, you know, possibly make it his way into the rotation by the end of the season or something. You know, it's kind of a bold call. I could see that happening. You know, Marco Gonzalez is as safe as it gets, but, you know, if Matt Brash can develop into filthy fifth starter, I mean, I'll take that any day. So.
Or you could almost put Brash with Marco into like an opener situation, and because it took like two different righty lefty, two different complete styles of pitching, like that could be a whole loop there too. So, yeah, it's funny you mentioned Marco. I was doing some quality starts digging recently, and of all the guys that showed up on back to back seasons of putting up like decent quality start numbers, Marco Gonzalez is on the list just because he's boring and just like puts it together, and it's nothing fancy, doesn't strike guys out, but he gets you like 6-3 every time.
Yeah, he just eats innings. Yeah, strikeout rate sucks, but more real-life value than fantasy, probably.
100%, 100%. Before we head out of here, let's talk prospects. Some teams have some pretty relevant prospects, some don't. How are the Seattle Mariners looking in 2023?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of ETA standpoint, I don't think there's a ton of, you know, fantasy impact type prospects that are going to be coming up in the Mariners. I think we kind of had some of that wave already. Obviously they've traded some other and bigger names away, like Noel V. Marte and Brandon Williamson on the pitcher end to the Reds and stuff like that. So, you know, some of those guys might not be there. Like I said, the depth isn't that great. You know, I was kind of mostly looking at players on the 40 man, cause that seems like a little more actionable at this point. Cooper Hummel, I mean, felt like a name that came up last year. I think, didn't he have like catcher eligibility or something like that? Yes, but he doesn't have catcher eligibility anymore. So maybe he's less relevant. You know, he doesn't chase a ton. He's got a little bit of power and speed. You know, but again, it's just, there's not a ton of depth there. Evan White, you know, I liked him kind of heading, you know, when he first came up there, had some buzz, had a pretty good barrel rate, some max EV in 2020, but battled some injuries. I think he was like a defensive first, you know, first baseman. So, but, you know, Ty Francis kind of got that locked down there. So, you know, he'd probably had to be platooned at some point. Yeah, the only other guy, and I don't even know if he's relevant, but he just kind of popped in my mind while I was searching through. I was like, I'll be honest, I'm not too locked in all these Mariners prospects. You know, I only have a capacity for knowing so many players.
Yep.
There's even a player, I think I did another Mariners pod last year, and there was a guy like, his nickname was like A-Rod or something, like something, and I was just like, Dave Eddie put him on the list, and I was just like, I don't even, it was Alberto Rodriguez, so it looks like he might have got DFA'd, but he was just like a dude that I was like, I don't know what you want me to say about this guy, but I got no clue other than staring at his Fangraphs page.
That's funny.
But here's the I don't say unknown, because obviously some of the prospect guys know about this guy, but Prelander Burrow, I'm probably totally butchering, but this guy's on the 40-man roster. He's a pitcher. He's got filthy strikeout stuff, but the walk rate has been awful, 70%. Definitely suffer for command guy. So I was trying to look over some of the, you know, Prospect Live notes and some of the scouting reports there. You know, it's kind of rare that you see a guy with a 70-80 grade fastball and slider, but command's 40 grade. So that tells us that, that, you know, probably might turn into a reliever, most likely, or something's really got to change. But Sus pretty electric. If you watch, I see a few highlights, you know, touches about 102, you know, touch triple digits pretty often with the fastball, slider's pretty filthy. But yeah, the command and kind of efficiency with the walks are probably a problem. Again, just a name that's on the 40 man, you know, in case you see this guy that his name is Prelander Burrow pop up in AA. It looks like he was traded from from the Giants at one point. So
of course, that means he'll probably be pretty good. So you'll be good to go there.
Yeah,
they'll figure it out.
Donovan Walton.
Is he still around? I remember that. I heard that name.
That was the transaction, I guess.
Yeah. But, I have no idea. Yeah, it's the Giants are a whole other world of question marks for me these days. That's just what are they doing right now? But we'll see. That Burrow one could be interesting just for the fact that if he is that going to get any kind of command, he could have some kind of bullpen role at some point in time that could make things kind of interesting, like you said, for you know, deeper leagues and whatnot. That could be a fun one if people keep an eye on that. But not a ton of prospects for this season. That's a theme with a bunch of teams right now that are kind of on the cusp of going for it. They've, like you said, they've either traded them or they're up already. So they've kind of gone through that slew. They're not in the as much rebuilding process as one would say, but they're loaded. They got that big four starting pitchers for sure. They got bats, especially at the top of the order. The depth is the question mark. Just for fun here, because they did make the playoffs last year. I think most of everyone that wasn't rooting was rooting for them, basically, because they're just a fun team. And that was just a heartbreaker series. Like, it was just crazy. How do you, like, just as a fan, put your fan hat on. This is an analyst fan hat. What are your expectations this year?
Well, I don't like that the Rangers are making so many free agency moves.
Yeah, they're actually getting competitive right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, so you know, they've got some pretty legit guys that could be, you know, add to the competition there. I mean, Astros are still going to be the team to beat, you know, unfortunately. Athletics definitely kind of in the, you know, bottom dwellers. They're going to have to, you know, rebuild there. I think 2022 definitely exceeded my expectations. You know, it kind of, we needed Julio Rodriguez to hit. You know, I'm just trying to backtrack, right? It's like, we needed this to hit. We needed George Kirby and, you know, Logan Gilbert to kind of be who they are. Castillo was, you know, a gift, obviously, to get a ace type guy like that. I think we need a little more depth. You know, somehow the Astros just keep churning out depth, like Jeremy Pena and, you know, all these guys coming up here. So I think, you know, we're definitely need some depth, and hopefully a little more reliable. The bullpen's been good, but, you know, they don't have like a lockdown closer, like a Ryan Pressly or somebody that, you know, you feel really, really good about. I mean, even in that, you know, final game that they lost, it was like extra innings, like every, you know, reliever they put out that wasn't Munoz or Seawald. It was just like holding my breath, you know, just like, I could walk a guy, you know, could descend the game. And whereas I think, was it Luis Garcia? Yeah. It was Luis Garcia, right. Mm-hmm. He was coming in and I'm like, this is unfair when they're throwing out their third starter or whatever.
And he can go multiple innings and do his thing. It's just like, yeah, this is right.
I'm like, this is cheating. The game is pretty much over. Yeah, I think playoffs are in the picture. I think we're going to need some depth. You know, I think it's unlikely to expect that all of these players are going to stay healthy, you know, unless Kalenic hits or something, you know, that'd be great. But realistic standpoint, you know, I haven't been around here for the Mariners for too long, but I've been around long enough for 15 plus years that I realized that keep your expectations in check. so, you know, I just got to enjoy the ride and don't get too too high there, but it definitely feels good. I told some of my friends I felt like 2022 might have been a year early, right? Like I felt like 2023 would have been the year. So the fact that they had some success, a little bit of taste of playoff stuff, I think they'll be in the playoffs, but you know, there's a lot of American League teams that are pretty competitive. So yeah. I think it's, you know, it's hard. I mean, you know, you can laugh about the Red Sox, but there could be a, you know, there could be a wild card team. Mm-hmm. You know, Yankees aren't afraid to add anybody. Blue Jays, you know, are up there too. And AL Central always somehow, they always find a couple competitive teams.
Make it that, interesting. You know, they always
yeah,
make it
yeah.
interesting.
So I think it's hard. You know, they're just, but I like the core. I think we need more depth though. That's definitely a concern, is the depth beyond the starting lineup. So.
Well, you got one of the best GMs in baseball when it comes to adding depth. So he'll find some way to do something. It might be an interesting trade because we've seen that before too. Like, wow, you're trading this guy away? Hey, it works out in the end. So we'll see how it goes with him. But Corbin, I appreciate it, man. This was fun chatting with you, talking some Mariners baseball. Before we log out of here, remind everybody what you got coming up and where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Good chat with you. You can find me on Twitter, Corbin_Young21. Like I said, right now, the most actionable thing I've got coming up is the Facts and Flukes article for Baseball HQ. Slowly rolling out that schedule. I think my first one will come out next week. Then after that, yeah, in February. So we'll be picking up pretty much every week, probably the same on your end with playing time and stuff like that. So yeah, pace will be picking up here in the offseason. I might throw some extra, you know, deep dives here, you know, personal blog or something here and there, just kind of put out some research there. But just kind of the fun of it, doing some of the research and sharing it out there. And yeah, so yep, thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. Looking forward to seeing it. I love your content, so keep it coming. Everybody, if you're not following him yet, check him out again on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. This was your Benched with Bubba Seattle Mariners season preview with Corbin Young. Catch you guys next time.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100. And use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.